T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For me, I don't think there's any reflection of the season as far as right now. I mean, we just beat a tough team. I mean, really all week, you know, that's what we've been harping on, is really we want to end this season with a bang. So that's what we went out there and did. And those runs, I mean, they just happened, I guess. Yeah, I personally haven't heard the chants. I don't know if they were after the runs or whatnot. So I personally didn't hear the chants. Only after the game, when I was going through the tunnel, that's when I heard the chants. But I mean, the season's been up and down for me and for a lot of the guys, you know, for our team in general. You know, I'm just so happy that we could end this season off with a win, you know, and we'll see what the offseason has in plan for us.
Yes, we will. Tua Tagovailoa talking yesterday to the media. Dave Hyde joins us from the Sun Sentinel. Tua's future, season's consequence. Ball's in Dolphins owner Stephen Ross's court. If he knows what to do, is the headline as we say good morning to Dave Hyde. Dave? Wow.
Saddest morning of the year, Joe. No football, right? I mean, the season goes on for a lot of teams, and it doesn't again for the Dolphins. And, you know, it's just a sad morning for me.
Yeah, listen, not making the playoffs sucks. You're exactly right. We can say it was feel good to beat the, you know, the Patriots twice in a year, and it was a good win to hang in there, and it was fun right to the end. And the Dolphins, even though they weren't playing for anything, they played hard and all that stuff. But at the end, you're not going to the playoffs. So, and we say that way too much, Dave, over the last 20-something years. So I want to ask you, the way Tua played yesterday, every time he threw it, I was scared to death there was an interception. I don't know what it was all about. If it was – what are your thoughts on going forward now with Tua Tagovailoa as we break this whole thing down?
Look, the Dolphins have told us what they think about Tua, if you're listening. I mean, at the trade deadline, the owner's trying to talk to Deshaun Watson. The general manager's talking about why he's trying to upgrade from him. So forget what everybody else thinks. Just listen to the Dolphins and what they think. They're going to make a run at Deshaun Watson again. And, you know, that's sort of where they painted themselves into, having to go after a guy with 22 sexual allegations against him. I mean, I don't know how else to paint it. And it's, I feel uncomfortable about that. You know, it's the weirdest thing. They basically what they're saying is just judge us on our winning and losing if they go after a guy like, and so let's judge them on their winning and losing. They started 1-7, had a bad year. I mean, yes. It wasn't a successful year, no matter how everybody wants to paint it, the feel-good win yesterday. My question is, where was the game the previous week? Where was that game the previous week when it mattered in Tennessee? And you could have – how would that game have felt if they beat New England and make the playoffs and knock New England out of the playoffs? That's a Sunday to celebrate, not a – look, they played a good game, but it was inconsequential at that point.
Yeah. So let me ask you, as far as your concern is – we talk about these huge drafts they've had the last couple of years. I want to ask you, is Chris Greer 100% safe?
I don't think anybody's 100% safe. I have, but let's start here. Steve Ross hasn't talked in about 2 years. I have no idea what he's thinking. We know 10 years ago he went after Jim Harbaugh, in the oddest move ever. My client flying across the country with Jeff Ireland, and Tony Soprano was upset. We had it strange. And what he said to me after that was, hey, give me this. I went after the right guy. So I have no idea what his thoughts are on Jim Harbaugh. Look, there are a lot of things to like about Brian Flores, right? But one of them isn't putting together a staff, okay? We've looked at you're on your third offensive coordinator in 3 years. The odds are it could very well go to four in 4 years. Jim Harbaugh, would come in with a good staff, okay? Now, I'm not pushing for a change at all, but I don't think there'll be a change. But look at Chris Greer. He drafted Tua over Justin Herbert. That's the type of decision that gets people fired, okay? Let's just be honest about how this could play out. Now, I have no idea what Steve Ross is thinking.
But, David, the beginning of this whole rebuild, the whole let's get rid of Laremy Tunsil, let's get rid of Minkah Fitzpatrick, let's get draft picks, let's build this thing from scratch, from the draft up and bring in some free agents. How many moves has Chris Greer made since this whole thing started that have actually worked outside of this last year's draft and maybe picking up Ogba and free agency in that first year? There's been more misses than hits, and in that point, how do you keep him around? How does Stephen Ross and Tom Garfinkel sit in a meeting with whoever else they talk to and say, yeah, we still believe in Chris. Look what he's done the last 2 years. I just don't see that happening. How do you not get rid of Chris Greer at this point, let him pick the next quarterback and draft more players? I just don't understand how that could happen.
Well, they got a good defense. I mean, you have to give them last draft. That turned out to be a very good draft. But to me, 60% of the GM's job, any GM, is getting the quarterback right. And when you went down this road, the whole idea, all I heard from the people in charge was, we're going to come out of this with a franchise quarterback. That was the number one idea.
Not even close.
Okay? And I don't know. I really don't know who Tua is. He might develop into a good quarterback. Okay, I'm given that. It's admirable to me how he's stood in there, in the pocket, in the face. Forget it, in the face of charging defensive linemen. But this whole craziness this offseason and I really admire how he's handled himself. Now, is he a elite quarterback? He doesn't have the physical skills. Okay, his arm isn't great. His mobility, I mean, those are the first runs we've really seen him make this whole season, yesterday at the end. Can he be a good quarterback? Yeah. Can he be an elite quarterback? That's what you'd be banking on if you're the Dolphins. Or really what you're saying is we're going to trade for a Deshaun Watson and then we'll be set. Okay, we'll give whatever draft picks necessary and go down that road. I don't know what the Dolphins, what Steve Ross is thinking.
Well, they can't just sit here and go, you know, our offense is in great shape. I mean, this offensive line is not very good. It's just not very good across the board. Yesterday, Jesse Davis got benched, so Robert Jones, a rookie free agent, could play right tackle. Solomon Kinley never got back on the field, whatever. This is one of the greatest doghouses in the history of the Miami Dolphins franchise for a young player. I'm just curious. I don't trust any of those guys in the front office or coaches when it comes to the offensive line. What about you?
Yeah, let's start with the staff. They've gone through four offensive line coaches in 3 years. There has to be some stability in the offense to let it grow, okay? And the first question is, okay, what are we going to do? I thought George Godsey, once the play calling was given to him about game five, which is another bizarre part of this year. I mean, let's start with fundamental litmus tests for this offseason. One should be we go into the year knowing who's calling the plays. I've never heard of that being an issue with a team, and it was this year. So At the end of this offseason, we should know who's calling the plays. But at game five, George Godsey, somewhere around there, he got the duties from Charlie Fry. And I thought he maximized what he had in the offense. I mean, I thought it grew. Okay. And they had 190 yards rushing, 95 yards rushing yesterday, which was staggering to me. That was shocking. And it also tells you, you know, if you get a good running back, and I mean, Duke Johnson was picked up off the scrap heap, and he averaged 4.7 yards this year. And the guys they went into the season with banking on averaged 3.6 yards rushing. That's a huge difference for this. And could that play out over a whole year? I don't know. But it sure did over the last month.
I think the frustration of offensive problems, because, Dave, I think you got to go out and get a running back. I think you got to upgrade wide receivers outside of Jalen Waddle. I think all of a sudden we just missed badly on a veteran free agent, Will Fuller. I mean, we just got absolutely – I think the part of it was a cover-up by the head coach not wanting to get into all the problems he had. Because I think it was more than just a hand. Well, he couldn't catch a ball for like 19 months. I mean, it was just
– The invisible hand. It was the strangest story. And something obviously happened. And you know, look, Brian Flores doesn't put up with crap from anybody. And so something happened between somebody and Will Fuller and the Dolphins, and he was off the team. They got to make better decisions. Like you said, Joe, personnel-wise, coach staff-wise, they have half a team right now. And the defense, you can see – You can see it's a good young defense, and as long as Xavier Howard stays at this level, because he allows so much to happen on the rest of the defense, as long as he stays at this level, it can be a really good defense.
But you know what, Dave? We go back to this problem, and I don't know if I've ever seen it this lopsided. From what you have as far as defensive talent goes to offensive talent goes, how did it get so lopsided when you're putting your draft boards together and your free agency together when you had all that money a couple years ago? How did the whole thing get so lopsided? You got maybe two or three guys you keep on offense right now for sure.
Yeah. There's one guy who I can say absolutely, well, two guys, Jalen Waddle and Robert Jones are going to be, and you could probably. Robert Hunt.
Yeah.
And maybe Robert Jones after yesterday.
Maybe you're right.
Right.
Extra tight end.
I thought Dave was going somewhere with that.
Extra
right,
tight end, starting right tackle. Yeah. What the hell did you see yesterday?
And the big question is, who is Tua? And I get everybody saying, looking at his winning record, he's 3-0 against the Patriots and all that. But let's be honest here. His ratings in the three Patriot games, 79.6, 73.4, and yesterday, 94.7, when the Patriots dropped, I don't know, two, three interceptions. And look, I'm not I don't know who he's going to be.
You're almost apologizing. You've done this like three times already today.
Because
you're getting blasted by Tua lovers out there that are going, you're wrong, Dave Hyde. It's not Tua. It's everybody else around Tua. Tua's good.
That's exactly right. And all I watch is a game like last night that Herbert had, and he lost. And so they're all saying, see, he lost. He can't win. And
Those people are stupid. If they're saying that, they're all like stupid. That's the dumbest thing. They want to go compare even the highlights of losing in overtime last night from Justin Herbert to Tua Tagovailoa. Do they still really want to go there and make believe world?
They do, Joe. They do. They are.
The hell is wrong. Stop drinking. Vodka and cranberry is not good.
So that's where we are. And another off season, another sad off season. Look, the bar. What is the bar for this franchise? That's it seems to be getting lower and lower. Oh my God,
500. They've had 20
years in Brian Flores, and the questions from my brethren in the media, Brian, you've had two winning seasons in 3 years. How proud are you of that? Brian, you beat the Patriots for the first time in 20 years. How proud are you of that? And I'm like, wait a second. Where was this team when it mattered, when the season started, when they brought it back through good effort and achievement, and they had a chance against Tennessee? Where was the season then? To me, that was always the bar for the Dolphins franchise, but I'm an old guy, and I can go back to the 80s and 90s.
So I guess this is my take with the media, because I knew there would be some media would do this today. I think everybody's seen it's time to build around Tua and get better players around him and give him a chance to be successful. And I'm thinking the last couple of games, every time he throws it, I'm scared to death that it's going to the wrong guy. Even yesterday, again, he has not played well the last couple of games. I'm shocked people are seeing it right now and just blaming everything around him.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, the game in Tennessee, you can blame the conditions and all that stuff, and it was a tough game. But if you're building a Dolphins team, you have to build a team that can win in Buffalo, in New England, in the Meadowlands in the winter, because you have your season on the line like that, okay? Then yesterday, he had a great first series, 5 for 5, I believe, for 54, 7 for 7 for 54 yards. He had 55 yards passing the rest of the game. I mean, they had a great running game. The defense helped put him up, and so again, not a lot was asked of him for the win, but I just don't see the greatness there that 3 years were sacrificed for.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what they've done. They've sacrificed 3 seasons, and I love the Dolphins fans, because it's always, you know, in 2 years, they're going to be great. You just stick with this plan. For the last 20 years, it's been, in 2 years, we're going to be great. You know, what's wrong with living for this season, trying to win this season?
Dave, it's your picture. It's the Groundhog Day picture. You asked what the bar is set for this team. It's the Groundhog picture. It's basically what it's 8-8. It's 9-8. It's 8-9. Like, that's the bar. And it's crazy that's where we are as a franchise now, as a Miami Dolphins franchise, from where we were to where we are now.
I don't think it's about going 8-9 or 8-8.
But that's where the bar is set, Joe. You're not better than that.
It's just stupid.
We can all remember when Tula went 9-7, and
people
were saying, let's move on, you know, and made the playoffs. And we're not even talking about making a run in the playoffs. It's just, can they make the playoffs?
Right.
You know, I mean, can they be the seventh team just above average in the league and make the playoffs?
Dave, we didn't get anything accomplished with you today. I'm just going to want to let you know that's frustrating, too. I was kind of hoping you were going to say something
therapy,
to make
Joe.
Me
Thank
feel
you.
Good. No, I was hoping you were going to help me feel better about walking out and not feeling great, even though we beat the Patriots. And I was like, we came up short, man. We're like, now how many years is this we haven't made it? And then the Patriot fans going, hey, man, enjoy your offseason. We got another game next week. We'll see who we're playing. I go, yeah, you're right. We've done this with you before. Dave, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. We'll talk.
Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel joining us. We'll take a quick break. Zach, what do you have for us today?
Well, after that, a glass of Zaffer Rum will make you feel a little bit better, I'm assuming, at this point. Zaffer Rum has been with me for a couple of years now. The first time I had it, I was blown away. It's such a good-tasting beverage, to be honest with you. It's unlike any other rum I've ever had before, because it's aged in bourbon oak cask. So if you're looking for that upscale, that luxurious spirit, you found it. It's Zaffer Rum. Two different bottles you could buy right now, the 21-year aged bottle or the limited edition 30-year aged bottles of Zaffer Rum, perfectly balanced with the taste of fruit and spice, that elegant aroma. Well, that's because of those bourbon oak casks, and it's great for a top-shelf cocktail, sipping it straight up or on the rocks. And if you're a cigar person, it is great with your favorite cigar. cigar, even Cigar Aficionado magazine recommends Zafirum by saying with its spice and oak barrel flavors, it's a spirit that seems purpose-built for a cigar. They've also received an exceptional 95-point rating from the Beverage Tasting Institute. It's really just another one of their prestigious awards they have there at Zafirum. So now it's your turn to enjoy it. Whether you're going out to a restaurant, whether you're having people over, it doesn't matter. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant, your favorite retailer, wherever you're going to have a nice drink. You gotta have Zafirum. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. They're social media friendly at Zafirum. That's Z-A-F-R-A. Zafirum reminds you to always drink responsibly. And remember, there is no rum without Zafra.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Well, I do have some good news, and that would be the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, and the Miami Hurricanes basketball team has been really, really good. Some great wins. The Heat go in and beat the Phoenix Suns by 23. Panthers have won 5 of 6, now 23-7-5. And the Canes beat Duke for their ninth straight win. Actually, just incredible what's going on. 13-3, 5-0 in the ACC at Florida State coming up here. And they've got it rolling, man, with guys like Wong and Moore and Miller and McGusty and Wardenburg, who, by the way, will join us. Sam Wardenburg will join us coming up here at 9 o'clock. We'll talk to him. You don't get wins at Duke, man, very often. Duke, what, number two in the country?
Well, they were. Isn't it funny, you know, people are doubting Coach L? And look what he's able to do.
Yeah, but he had a rough two seasons.
He had a rough go before you go getting carried away.
Oh, I'm not getting carried away, Joe. That program had some issues that they had to overcome, and now
had guys leaving right and left.
Yeah, he's got guys. Well, now he's got guys coming right and left.
Okay,
but you could admit that he had a rough 2 years.
Well, last year was a throwaway year.
Right, but still,
you could put it any way you want. Coach L was going through some rough times, and guys, he got some really good blue chip players, and they were high maintenance and leaving, and he had a guard that had the mysterious injury for like,
right.
Listen, the most fun of all, though, isn't it fun to watch Coach K squirm a little bit in his last year there? That's you got to admit you enjoy that a little bit.
Importantly, it was nice to see him actually win that game.
Right,
too.
That's
usually that's a game Duke gets, and you're like, oh, we were so close, and they got it. But yeah, listen, it's worked out. Coach L's got some things flipped around. He's got a good group of guys, and we'll see how far it can go. But 9 straight wins, 13-3 on the season. It's been a fun one, and a lot of good things going on with our teams outside of if the football season. If you're just find a new team here, there's plenty like hockey or basketball. Whatever you're getting,
they're going to start naming NFL teams.
No, by the way,
jump aboard one of these others.
Yeah, find a new team. How about Kansas City or Green Bay? They're good.
Right. The playoffs will be fun as the Titans and Packers take the number one seed in the AFC and NFC. And then we've got some games. And I got to tell you, man, I'm not excited about Monday Night Football playoff games. I just think I agree with you know, first people up. So, oh, they're getting a couple extra days off. Let me tell you, somebody's going to get shortchanged on coming back on losing a day too.
Short week, right.
So I just wish they keep these things on Saturday and Sunday. But
yeah, just give me the two triple headers.
The machine
from Saturday
just,
and Sunday, yeah.
Machine just continues, though. The machine just, like, we'll put it on and people will watch.
That's true.
And we got some good ones, man. Raiders still alive, and nobody's been through more than the Raiders. Las Vegas, what they – and by the way, they got a – well, they've had two DUIs. One guy's looking at doing prison time. Had one guy put a gun to some threaten somebody on social media. He got they got rid of him. Your coach has got emails all over the place. They had to let him go. And they friggin' made the playoffs with all those distractions. It's just incredible.
Talk about off the field distractions more than anything else. No one's had more than the Vegas Raiders. Nobody. And look what they did. Fifth seed in the AFC, in the playoffs, heading to Cincinnati. You think Cincinnati can make a little run here with that offense in the playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Cincinnati rested up. Should be fun with Joe Burrow. By the way, good for football too. They got some fun group to watch. New England and Buffalo round three to see what that's going to look like. Pittsburgh goes to Kansas City. Eagles, another nice story, going to Tampa Bay, and the 49ers. I got a feeling the 49ers Cowboys is going to be a good game. I just think that could be a really good game. And the Cardinals and the L.A. Rams, who, I mean, they lost again to the 49ers. The 49ers own them. It doesn't matter what the score is. 49ers find a way to beat that team. By the way, I'm with everybody else too. I'm starting to cool a little bit on the quarterback for the Rams right now. Just
Stafford. Yeah.
Matthew Stafford is just
That move didn't make a ton of sense when they did it.
Well, it's an upgrade from what they had.
It's better than Goff.
It's a slight upgrade, if
slight.
I mean,
no, he's better than Goff. That's not a question.
My God, he's got a bunch
of pick sixes. We'll see how far he takes that team.
No, you're right. They went for it, man. They went all in, gave up traded draft picks and loaded up to make this run that they're doing right now in L.A. And if they come up short, and then, listen, the other great story is Titans. How many of these guys are going to get back, including Derrick Henry? Is he going to be able to come back and get a lot of this workload as a running back? And
well, another week off, too, to get him healthy.
Yeah.
Their backup looked pretty good, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Not bad for a big, strong running back. He looked good, too.
You know, you were talking about the ratings for the games and people watching. I don't know if you caught this, but over the weekend there was a story that came out. 75 of the 100 most-watched TV programs in 2021 were NFL football games.
Not surprising.
No. Not surprising.
Not at all.
Top five most watched programs, by the way, the Super Bowl, the NFC Championship, AFC Championship, Raiders, Cowboys Thanksgiving game, and the Bucks Saints NFC Divisional Round game. So they had 75 of the top 100, and they had the top five.
You know what I'm kind of surprised of there? That Bucks, the Bucks and the Patriots game's not up there as one of the top one. You remember how the hype going into that? Tom Brady back in New England?
There are no. I'm surprised too, but
yeah, that should have. I thought that would be up.
But there are certain teams that really,
right,
draw well on TV ratings. Sure. Cowboys, right. Green Bay Packers always seem to do well. So yeah,
just real quick going back to that article. I apologize, but do you know which? There was one like scripted TV show that was in the top 100. Do you have any idea which show it was?
Scripted TV show.
No idea.
No.
It was The Equalizer.
Really?
And the only reason it got those ratings is because it aired immediately after the Super Bowl.
Oh, all right. That works.
There you go.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a nice
one. You ever watch that show, by the way?
No, never did.
That's atrocious. I watched like the first couple episodes. It's really bad.
Atrocious. Oh, my God.
So that's your... Wow. You didn't like it too much, apparently.
But no, it's just like it's obviously. like I told you yesterday, I watched that 60 Minutes report. It's because people don't want to move off the couch and look for the remote. That's why The Equalizer was a top 100 show last year, because nobody was like going to get up. And also, I think people just turn their TVs off and they leave the cable box on. I do that.
That could happen.
You ever turn your TV on and it's like you've been off this for more than 4 hours. We turned it off for you.
I've been known to fall asleep, yes, with stuff on. Yes, that has happened. That has happened, Woody. Hey, Wood, we got to go to break here, man. We've got a lot more.
You like that analysis?
Yes, that was good.
Really good.
Very good.
You're best of the day.
You're good. Just we'll get you stroked nice and nice here on a Monday. Yep. Really good job by you. Really good. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff to get to here, including we didn't forget about the national championship game tonight, Bama and Georgia round two, and see if we can't have a much better game tonight. I got a feeling it's going to be a good game. I do. I don't think it's going to be a blowout tonight, but, man, it is hard to root against Alabama. He has just been too good. Besides the guys that he's been able to recruit, coaching them up too, man. He is as good as they have. All right, we got to go to break here. Right now, I want to tell you about a guy named Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Interest rates, man, are going up, but hey, I still got 2.5 rates for you. 2.5, man. Why not lock in a low fixed rate right now? 2.5. Call my friend Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. You've been dealing with big banks, and you get the runaround. You get the limited hours from the bankers. They tell you no, send over your stuff. Now we've decided no. Your credit score took a little hit over the last couple years. All these different things have popped up, and I'm like, well, why are you dealing with banks when you get Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, who can get you the rates just as good or if not better, find creative ways to get you approved. And then on top of that, can get you approved in half the time as a big banks because they're so backlogged right now. You don't have any of that problem. You have questions right now about reverse mortgages, debt consolidation, VA loans, refinancing, and anything else. Michael Kotze's been making loans happen here in South Florida for more than 25 years. No nonsense, no runaround. Good old-fashioned straight talk. Answering all your questions to get you approved. What your rates are, what they could be, how much can you save every month, all that important stuff. Get pre-approved in minutes for free when you call Michael Kotze. Hey, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a cell phone number. I want you to call or text him and find out for yourself. Okay, he's a lot more knowledgeable than most bankers anyway. He can get it done. He works his butt off to make sure people get good news from him. 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. Or you just visit choicemortgage.com if you want to learn more about Michael Kotze. 561-441-2730. Hey, MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
Man, look, every year is different. I think every experience is, you learn from them, good or bad. And that's kind of how I try to approach everything. And I know I've learned a lot this year about myself, this team, you know, players on our team, and the people in our building. And I think that's really what I take from it. You know, I think, you know, there'll be time to reflect on it and see. Man, there's certainly some things that I've learned. I like to think that I've grown a little bit, but hopefully that's the case for everyone. And that's the case for everyone every year, players, coaches. I'm sure that's the case for you in your profession. So, you know, there's always good, there's always bad, and try to learn from it all.
Self-evaluation. Coach Brian Flores talking about it and got his guys ready to play yesterday. They get a win over the Patriots, come up short, obviously. Don't make the playoffs for, what is it now, 5 years? Been since we went up and played Pittsburgh in a wild card game. And so the Dolphins end up 9-8 on the season. They do beat the Patriots twice, but that's not the goal. The goal is to get into the playoffs, win a playoff game, and start moving towards the top and get some stability in winning. And there's a lot of stuff. It's got to be evaluated. Most of it on the offensive side of the ball starts at the quarterback position. Do you have your quarterback or not? How are you going to sell it? Is it enough? Because it's 19 points a game. That's what it is. It's 19 points a game. One of the worst scoring teams in the NFL. From Tua to the offensive line, wide receivers, coaches, everything's got to be evaluated, including offensive line coaches, of where are you with this group? Most of these, by the way, most of these guys will all be back next year. If I could tell you one thing right now, Eichenberg, Jackson, Dieter, and Hunt will all be back for sure. And I'm guessing they got some time now, and Robert Jones, who played right tackle yesterday in the last few games, has been the extra blocking offensive lineman when they go with an extra offensive lineman in there. Solomon Kinley, all bets are off on Solomon Kinley. It is one of the greatest doghouses I've ever been around, from a guy that was a starter to whatever happened in the offseason and to where he couldn't get on the field. And by the way,
something bad must have happened, right, Joe? I mean,
I don't know.
That's the
only thing
I can figure. He didn't just get that much worse as an offensive lineman in one offseason.
I think it all started with his weight, which I think coaches take us, like, being overweight, if you're overweight all the time, and I'm just guessing. I don't know this for sure. But it's like being late for meetings. Just, it's hard for coaches if that's the situation. But I got to tell you, that offensive line, one of his biggest projects should have been trying to get that guy competitive and get the most out of him instead of having basically sit all season as an extra guard. Just not. So there's a bunch of different stuff. It's got to be evaluated. Is this the offense you want to run? I get, in fairness to the coordinators, they're looking at what they have, the way they're blocking stuff, and going, we're very limited. This is going to be a short, controlled passing game, and we're going to try to score just enough so we can win some games. And I thought they coached that way. I thought they called plays that way, and it was safe. Tua got rid of the ball quickly on that that run-pass option RPO, that they had. Yeah. And all those things, and honestly, just didn't use the wide receivers enough, didn't get enough out of your offense, and so there's a lot to be done, a lot of decisions to be made. And by the way, should not be giving anybody in the front office a hall pass on this thing either. Not at all. Defensively, the fact that we have so much talent on the defensive side of the ball, including guys that rotate in are really nice pieces, guys that can make a lot of money on the open market. And then you look at the offense and you're going, what the hell happened? Look at the amount of talent you have on offense. If I was to ask you right now, how many guys on defense would you like to keep in a perfect world because you really like them? Mm. First of all, you got three or four defensive tackles you like for sure. Zach Sealer with those three you keep. Raekwon Davis still young, although I didn't think Raekwon played as well as he did in the second half of the season last year, his rookie year. Christian Wilkins played his ass off, man.
Sure did.
Really had a really good season. Baker played great. Corners, fine. And I love your three safeties that you're playing with Brandon Jones and Holland and Rowe in there. So you had a lot. And then Van Ginkle, Ogba, Jalen Phillips. So you had a lot of nice pieces. I just named a lot of guys that, man, I want to keep those guys. Nick Needham, I want to keep Nick Needham. Hell, I don't want to lose Nick Needham. I want to keep him. And then you go, okay, well, that's on defense. That's a pretty good group. Let's see where they had some pretty good numbers. All right, what about offense? You go, okay, well, and you get to about three guys, maybe four, and your brain goes, oh, I don't know. I don't know. That might be it. There might not be anybody else on my list.
Waddle, Gesicki, Robert Hunt.
That might be it.
I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think because you said three or four. I'm actually just trying to think of possibly that.
Duke Johnson
right
was one of your
yeah,
best players.
Absolutely.
I like Durham Smythe. I think Durham Smythe should be
guy
you want to get back. I like their tight end position. Apparently, they didn't like it. They drafted a guy in the third round and never played. Just some head scratching stuff, man. Head scratching stuff with positions you needed. Like, how about a running back in the third round last year? And you coached the Senior Bowl. You knew them all. Like, it's
how about
just
a running back in the last two drafts, Joe.
Could have had some guys, and you know? And so
I mean, I'm not
so
saying Jonathan Taylor would have been the greatest running back in the NFL if he played here, but man, it'd be nice to have a guy like that that's got serious potential.
Well, I don't know how much it's going to matter till you get this this
offensive
group
line
of
right.
Five guys together and a couple of key backups, which I think you've got some key backups right now with this young group that can still get better and get coached up. And then they got to do some serious evaluating on position coaches. That's got to be right there at the top. I mean, we're throwing it all out there. There are a lot of parts of this team that didn't get better. And that, listen, that's when teachers, these guys are their teachers. And when they don't see, when we don't see them getting better, and there were some guys, there were some areas where guys did get better. Like our tight ends are pretty good. Tight ends, big part of things, right? But your offensive line and the group of five is not good enough.
You're in the same place you were the last 2 years with the offensive line.
You can't have a first time offensive line coach as the lead guy with this many young guys. You can't do that. You need a guy screaming experience. A guy that's done this before. We had a guy that developed the Colts offensive line here that was here a few years ago. And they got cheap on him. So, oh, we want you back, but it's going to be, you know. Well, wait a second. You want me or no? Because I got some history. I got that Colts young offensive line. I developed it. That's his baby.
Yep, not a bad job he did there.
But didn't want him back. Nah, we're going to go a different direction. Okay, well, you got to have somebody, man, that's good. It's got experience. That has some history, knows how to get a group of guys, got vision, where to put guys.
But how are we the only ones to see that if you have that many young offensive tackle, or not tackles, just offensive linemen, that you need a guy in here who's been around for a while, not a guy that's kind of getting his first time, you know, wetting his feet with this job? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Your most important position that you got to develop outside of the quarterback.
I don't just believe you can just throw a guy from high school or college into the pros. I don't come from that school, and I know Belichick's got his two sons on that staff, and he's done it. And guess what? He can do it because he's one of the great coaches of all time. And if you haven't seen it, it is pretty funny that his two sons are coaching on the defensive right. side of the ball. Right. And by the way, he does not officially have a defensive coordinator. So that's the way Belichick does it. But you got to have some guys that, especially in a group of five like that, then have to play well together. And they're just so young. Like yesterday, you ended up at one point, most of that game, it was Eichenberg, Jackson, Dieter, Hunt, and Robert Jones. That's two first-year players, two second-year players, and your experience is Michael Dieter, who's getting his first chance to be a starting center this year. That's what you have. It's, man, those guys are screaming for leadership.
Yeah.
Screaming.
Right.
And Jesse, I know Jesse Davis been around the league and has done a good job with a lot of these guys and had some of his own problems at tackle from time to time. But there's a lot of stuff, man. There's a lot of stuff when they sit down and have their meetings at some point with the CEO and the owner and whoever else going to sit on these meetings. And, We got to decide. You have your list. You know, when corporate America, like, here's what we want to go through today in our meetings, guys. So first thing will be quarterback, then we'll work to offensive line, position coaches. And we want to evaluate our general managers and the guys that are bringing the players in and what they're able to get out there.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall during that. Of what Stephen Ross, Tom Garfinkel, and the powers that be think of what happened with this team in the last 2 years.
So – My gut feeling is, and this is just the feel I get from being around people and the way everybody talks about Chris Greer, he's going to be fine. He's going to stay. He's still got to do a better job, Chris. You ain't getting a damn all pass around here. But, and then the coaches will all be evaluated. I think Coach Flores is safe. I do. I'd be very surprised if they made a change, even though I know Harbaugh's out there. And there's a lot of people believe Harbaugh's ready to jump back into the NFL now and
try. He finally got his first win over Ohio State in the last thing. Decade.
Yeah, yeah, he got that done, so he didn't have to worry leaving. He can say, "I got him finally, got him." I don't have to worry about that
once in a
being
decade
on my
right?
friggin' resume right. the rest of my life. And then we'll find out today who's going to join Vic Fangio and lose their jobs, general managers and head coaches, but there's a lot of work ahead for this Dolphins team. Don't think because of a 9-8 record you're close. Do not drink that Kool-Aid, folks. I'm not going to let you on this show drink that Kool-Aid. nobody's going to tell him, oh, Joe, what are you talking about? We're 9-8 and we lost to Jacksonville. We could have easily won that game in Vegas. We could have won that game. And that puts us – no. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. No. I look at an offense that's struggling.
Right.
This team, we got through this winning streak, and what we were able to do was defensive. It wasn't offensive. Even yesterday, they went 33-24 with two defensive scores and puts us right back at 19 points offensively. That's where you are. So there is a lot of work ahead, man. There's a lot of stuff that's got to be cleaned up offensively and still keep this defense together. So, and I'm not one to just change coaches every year and, no, I'm done, get rid of this coach. No, I think we may have to upgrade some coaches, though. I think you may have to look at finding some guys that there's no way some of these coaches are going to get passing grades. There's just no way. No. When they go through their meetings with the coach and the general manager, self-evaluation. Problem is like, if I was one of those coaches, I'd go, hey, wait a second, Mr. GM. You're having a meeting with me, and my ass ought to be having a meeting with you. A
lot of finger-pointing if they had those meetings right now, Joe.
They're pretty good. They've been on the same page, and that's one saving thing they had. They stuck together during the tough times, and I think there's some pretty good relationships with all those guys. But it's about production, and production's not good enough offensively. Just not good enough. Hell, I just named like 10 or 11 guys defensively, either in rotation positions or starting positions that you love, and you go to the other side of the ball and you have trouble filling up one hand.
Right.
That's where you are. All right, we got a lot more stuff to get to, man. We're going to be flipping this thing over, talking to Sam Wardenburg, 6'10", out of New Zealand, and a big part of the Miami Hurricanes basketball success as they stay undefeated in ACC with a huge win on the road against Duke. We'll be talking to him coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, I want to take this moment to tell you about Jonathan Rodriguez. I love talking. Matter of fact, I saw him on some TV commercials, and I went, man, I love this guy, and I know people, as we get into the new year and you're starting to fix up your home and get new impact windows and doors, but you want to just – you got to be careful in that business. You want to go to people and that been doing this a long time that are really, really good. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I went out one day. I had to see it. I wanted to see ASP. And I got to tell you, ASP, you hear about them as a roofing contractor, but I got to tell you, when it comes to impact windows and doors, they really are the leaders in the house here in South Florida. They've been doing it with quality and service for a long time. So I went down to Doral to see it. It's not that far, right off the turnpike down in Doral. They've got a big, beautiful showroom, and they got the history and the story of Jonathan Rodriguez and his family who are involved in this and the work that they do. Man, I'm telling you, everything. Folks, if you're looking around and looking for somebody that you can trust, that's going to do it the right way, give you a lot of different styles, let you show you all the different things, pull the permits, installation, all that stuff to protect your home and family, I'll tell you, to me, it's pretty big with all the storms out there we have during hurricane season. You never know, man, when the big ones come and you want to go to the best. And Jonathan Rodriguez and ASP, the family over there, are going to take really, really good care of you. And they've got a great story behind it, been doing it a long time. They're from here in South Florida. Hey, man, just mention my name, Joe Rose. You get a $5,000 discount, no payments until 2024. Let the ASP family protect yours, 305-340-2081. 305-340-2081. ASP, man, check them out. You're going to be impressed with the work that they do, and their showroom is spectacular.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.